Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Akash, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Ronak Sharaf, Manager, Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Akash. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call. We sincerely hope you all have gone through our financials and all the disclosures which has been posted in the investor relations section of our website. Today we have with us Mr. Vasant Rathi, Chairperson, Mr. Mukund Kabra, full-time director, and Mr. Beni Rauka, Group CFO. Today the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, update on strategy, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for the ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financial summary. Now I would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information shared during the call, particularly regarding our plans, strategies, and the future outlook, may contain forward-looking statements. These statements involve inherent risk and uncertainty and are based on current expectations, forecasts, and the assumptions. The actual results may differ materially from those expressed or implied in these statements, influenced by a range of factors, including but not limited to economic conditions, change in government policies, regulatory developments, and other unforeseen circumstances. Recipients are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements as they are not guarantees for future performance and should not be viewed as substitute for independent judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any such statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Now, so without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, Mukund sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate you all for taking out your valuable time, and I extend the heartiest welcome to everyone joining us today on the conference call for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2025. The global markets are experiencing considerable disruption due to the imposition of US tariffs, leading to the shift in market dynamics. As the tariff situation continues to evolve, we are well positioned to evaluate its impact given the significance of the Americas as a key export market for us. Concurrently, we remain optimistic. Based on the available news, reciprocal tariff is reduced from 25% to 18%, and the additional penal levy of 25% that had been imposed on India for buying Russian oil has also been dropped. The overall performance for the period was mixed. While several of our businesses delivered healthy growth, others remained flat. Despite ongoing global uncertainties, our focus on operational excellence helped us maintain steady momentum towards the full-year guidance. Our top line for the quarter stood at 1,719 million, reflecting a 2% year-on-year growth and decline of 7% compared to the previous quarter. On year-to-date basis, revenue grew by 15%. EBITDA came in at rupees 494 million, which is 11% down year-on-year and 18% lower quarter-on-quarter, while on YTD basis, it grew by 11%. EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 29% and 31%, and for the 9 months of financial year 26, it stood at 31% as compared to 32% in 9 months of financial year 25. Moving on to the profitability, our profit after tax reached rupees 432 million, registering a 11% growth year-on-year and 3% decline quarter-on-quarter. On YTD basis, it grew by 20%. The PAT margin at 25% for the quarter and 24% for the year-to-date. Now, I will take you through our segment-wise revenue performance for the third quarter of financial year 26 and compare it both year on year and sequentially with quarter 3 financial year 25 and quarter 2 financial year 26. Let's begin with human healthcare, our largest segment. Revenue for quarter 3 financial year 26 stood at rupees 962 million, making a 6% year-on-year decline and 21% on sequential basis, while growth of 12% is observed in 9 months year-to-date basis. This degrowth is on account of lower sales in the pharma API and nutrition business across both domestic and international markets. Human healthcare contributed 56% of our total revenue in the current quarter. Next, we have animal healthcare. Revenue rose to 241 million, delivering a 22% increase year on year, 25% on sequential basis, and 26% on year to date basis. Animal healthcare accounts for 14% of the total revenue in the current quarter. Turning to bioprocessing, this segment recorded 13% year on year growth during the quarter, 41% sequential growth, and 15% year-to-date growth. This growth is primarily on account of robust performance of our food business. The food business grew by 16% on year-on-year basis, 51% on quarter-on-quarter basis, and 19% on year-to-date basis. The non-food business degrew by 5% on year-on-year basis. It grew by 3% on quarter-on-quarter basis, while there is marginal increase of 1% on year-to-date basis. Lastly, the specialized manufacturing segment remained flat on year-on-year basis, while it degrew by 16% on sequential basis. On 9-month basis, it grew by 25%. This segment represents 9% of our overall revenue in the current quarter. The quarter presented its share of headwinds. Nevertheless, we remain steadfast in our strategy and confident in the opportunities ahead. We anticipate that our strong growth trajectory will persist across all business segments in the foreseeable future. Moving forward, our primary priority is to enhance resilience throughout our operations, thereby ensuring effective adaptation to the dynamic market conditions and emerging challenges. With this, I will now hand over the call to Rauka ji. He will walk you through the financial and key subsidiary numbers. Over to you, Rauka ji.
Thank you very much, Mukund. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health and doing well. On the company's consolidated financial for third quarter and year to date, 9 months of fiscal year 2026, first, I would like to give comparison on year-on-year basis. This is Q3 FY26. Revenue is increased by 28 million from 1,691 million to 1,719 million, a 2% increase. EBITDA is lower by about 11% at 29% as compared to 33% in the corresponding quarter of last year. So this is 494 million as compared to 553 million. Profit before tax has increased by 10% from 530 million to 583 million. This is about 34% of our revenue. Profit after tax is increased by 43 million from 389 million to 432 million. This is about 25% of our revenue as compared to 23% in the corresponding quarter of last year. On Q-on-Q basis, sequential basis, revenue is down by about 7% from 1,845 million to 1,719 million. EBITDA is decreased by 107 million. From 601 million to 494 million, about 29% of our revenue as compared to 33% in the last quarter. Profit before tax is decreased by about 13 million from 595 million to 583 million. Profit after tax is decreased by about 15 million from 447 million to 432 million. This is about 25% of our revenue as mentioned earlier. For 9 months of FY26 versus 9 months of FY25, our revenue is increased by about 15% from 4,697 million to 5,424 million. This is about 15% growth. EBITDA is increased by 170 million, 11% increase from 1,488 million to 1,658 million. This is about 31% of our revenue as compared to 32% in the last year. Profit before tax is increased by about 20% from 1,439 million to 1,727 million. Profit after tax is increased by about 212 million from 1,072 million to 1,284 million. This is about 24% of our revenue as compared to 23% in last year 9 months. Regarding our subsidiary numbers, JC Biotech quarterly numbers is top line of 159 million with EBITDA of 7 million and PAT of negative 4 million as compared to 172 million of top line and 22 million of EBITDA and 7 million of PAT in the corresponding last year Q3. For 9 months, JC Biotech top line is 556 as compared to 488, registering volume percent increase. EBITDA is 77 million as compared to 66 million, 17% increase. And PAT is 27 million as compared to 19 million, 39% increase. Evoxx revenue stood at 87 million and EBITDA of 22 million and PAT of 15 million for Q3 of this year as compared to 64 million, 12 million and 4 million respectively of revenue, EBITDA and PAT. So 9 months Evoxx revenue stood at 231 million as compared to 160 million registering a 44% of increase and EBITDA is increased from negative 8 million to 53 million in 9 months and PAT is 36 million as compared to negative 30 million. Our healthcare bifurcation, our India sales stood at 481 million as compared to 460 million in corresponding quarter of last year. International sales stood at 482 million as compared to 559. Our B2C sales stood at 91 million as compared to 103 million in the Q3 of the last year. SciTech top line stood at 159 million and EBITDA of 28 million. PAT of 7 million as compared to 154 million of top line and 30 million of EBITDA and 20 million of profit. So 9 months is 489 million as compared to 386 million. EBITDA is 65 million as compared to 66 million. PAT is 15 million as compared to 32 million for 9 months. Our largest product, which is anti-inflammatory enzyme. This is about 21% of our revenue as compared to 20% last year. For 9 months, it is 22% as compared to 19% last year. Top 10 customer is about 26% for this quarter as compared to 26% in Q3 of last year. And for 9 months, it is 23% as compared to 36% last year. B2C sales number stood at 104 million as compared to 123 million in the last year quarter, corresponding quarter. R&D expenditure on standalone basis for Q3 revenue is 77 million and capex is 3 million. So total is about 80 million, which is comparable to the earlier quarters. Total 246 million we have spent so far in 9 months. R&D expenditure as percentage of our revenue on consolidated basis, it is about 4.7% as compared to 4.9%. Here, this is without considering the intercompany eliminations. And on consolidated basis, R&D spend after considering the elimination, it is about 3.2% as compared to 3.3% in Q3 of FY25. For 9 months, it is 3.2% as compared to 3.7% in 9 months of last year. That was from my side. Now we shall open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Let us wait for a moment until the question queue assembles. The first question comes from Mr. Umang Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Yes, Umang.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question was if you could break down the human nutrition revenue between India and international.
Yes. So I'm giving you for 9 months number, okay?
Okay.
India is 1710 and international business, I am talking in millions, 1710 millions for 9 months.
Yeah.
And for international market, 1686 million. So total is 3396 million for 9 months.
Got it. Sir, and the second question was if you could speak about the decline in human nutrition segment. You alluded to the fact that it was between both pharma and nutraceuticals, and even the numbers represent that. So can you just help us understand, especially in nutraceutical business in US, what led to the decline?
Umang Shah.
Umang.
Yeah, good night, sir.
You know what is going on in US. The overall, the market is very uncertain in US. And when there is a complete uncertainty in nutritional market, everybody is paying a heavy duty no matter where the product is coming from in the nutritional market, human nutrition market. And long-term strategies, short-term strategies are difficult to develop during this kind of certain markets. Second part is the cost which is coming out from the China on all the raw materials for packaging, shipping, etc. is going up, and industry is trying to pass on that cost a little bit at a time. And you can see that there is a slowing down, not because only on the nutritional side also, but the market-wise, it is affecting consumers very very heavily in the food segment, in pharma segment, everywhere. So the overall, there is a tremendous uncertainty in the marketplace, and in that particular place, people try to hold on to placing any new orders. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, got it, sir. Very useful. Sir, and second question was, what is the competitive intensity in our largest product in India? Is it normalizing compared to last year, or is it still quite high?
Umangi, you can see the numbers, and if you see the numbers, probably we are growing, right? So I don't see there is any problem with competencies or any other area into that particular.
Got it, sir. Got it. Sir, and last question was, at the end of the last year, you had mentioned that we want to have a business in intermediates also. It's been 9 months of this year have been done. Any headway in this business?
We are still working on that, and probably when the right time will come, we will come out of it.
Right. Hopefully the market conditions will help us establish the foothold.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Sajal Kapoor from Antifragile Thinking. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. My questions are not about this quarter or 9 months, but slightly medium to long term. First one is, how are you monitoring potential disruptive technologies or new entrants in the enzyme space, and what steps are you taking to ensure advanced enzyme is not, kind of blindsided by them?
Very, very interesting question, and thank you for asking that. Listen, there is a... technologies which are coming in, or the new entrants coming into the marketplace, there are certain segments in the human nutrition where people are more concerned with. And we are addressing that through our lot of research of new products, new areas. It takes little time to develop these new enzymes per se, because it has to go through a lot of regulatory approvals, etc. But we are already, if you will see, that we are very much on top of it, publishing our papers. We are also trying to get technical backgrounds and support systems, because people nowadays don't like just an ingredient per se. They want research data supporting it, and which too also with the peer review papers. And that's how we are trying to attack that market, to make sure that we keep our lead continuously into this market.
No, that's helpful. That's helpful. And yes, I agree. It takes time to commercialize the new discovery, taking all, it's a time consuming. Nothing works overnight in this industry. So I'll completely appreciate that. And my second question is, how do you decide when to, invest in incremental improvements to existing products versus pioneering entirely new enzyme solutions that might initially serve only a smaller or a less profitable market, but that may potentially lead into longer term opportunities? So basically the question is, how do you decide when to become more cost efficient because of competitive pressures or otherwise in your existing products, versus what R&D dollar or how to invest that incremental money into something novel, discovering it and then commercializing it? What is this sort of mindset?
Mindset is basically you go to the marketplace where you have a better profit margins to begin with, and then expanding into the markets where there are there is margin pressure, but the volume gives us a cost competitive advantage into our manufacturer.
And do you keep separate teams for novel innovation, something which is getting discovered, or and versus incremental improvements, or are these the same teams?
No, the teams you have to separate them and get most of the efficiencies, cost efficiencies, because nowadays travel is very expensive, as you know. Okay. Besides, AI is coming into picture, so a lot of people are self-educated per se, quote unquote. So it is always very interesting market dynamics where people throw the questions from AI, wanted to know all the answers kind of thing. And this is a technical field little bit, so you have to explain it in the marketplace to make them understand why it is different. It is not the same thing.
No, sure, but my question was, is it a single R&D center? Because we have got multiple R&D centers, so how do we position them for new innovation versus improvement?
No, there is single R&D centers.
R&D centers are single, but they are subdivided into different departments, functionality wise. So there are different people taking care of different areas.
Understood. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you so much for all the responses. Thank you and all the very best.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Shreyans Gathani from SG Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had one question. So from my understanding, the sales in the Evox subsidiary just go to Europe. Would that be the right understanding?
Yes, it is the right understanding.
Yes.
Okay. So based on that, so if I look at, X of the Evox, pretty much our sales have dropped. I'm just looking at the last quarter, like we were doing around 4 crores. If I just subtract the Europe sales, from the Evox sales from the Europe sales. So besides the Evox, we've pretty much not done anything in this quarter. So could you comment on, what happened, like why we've lost, sales over there in Europe?
So, Srinath, I think quarterly comparison, as we have already been mentioning, is not possible, in our case.
People don't buy quarter to quarter and month.
Yeah, it all depends on, customers, their own, procurement schedules.
Okay. Because I see, pretty much we're averaging, last 4 quarters, we're doing, 4 crores, and now it's less than 1 crore, 90 lakhs, besides the Evox sales. So,
anyway, we can't talk.
No, we will speak out. I will give you exact number. I don't know how you have subtracted.
Okay, I will take that offline. That's okay. Thank you. Okay. That's all from my end. Yeah.
Thank you.
We will talk to you.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Rohan from Blue River Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
For the opportunity, am I audible?
Yes, Rohanji.
Look at your sales to the US.
I'm sorry.
Little bit louder, Rohan.
Rohan, sir, I would request you to speak a little louder because your voice is so feeble.
Yeah, am I audible now? Is this better?
Better, sir.
Yeah, I was talking about the US sales. There's been some weakness in the US sales of recent. I think in one of the earlier calls you had alluded to the fact that this is relating to the tariffs. Now, given the current, favorable kind of trade deal that we have, it was announced a couple of days back, what is the outlook for the sales in the US, given it is the largest market, both in terms of, recovering sales and then from here on going henceforth forward? If you can help us with how you plan to go ahead there with regards to new products, new customers, new segments, anything on that, please?
Well, tariff is a tariff, 18%, 25% or 50%. Do you think anybody is willing to pay you 50% higher prices in the retail marketplace? It's impossible. You know, you will lose a lot of entire sale of your entire sale. So it's a various strategies which we have to ensure that we don't lose customers at the same time impact on the margins are not heavily affected. So most of the things, if you will see that US companies will pass on some of the cost increases to the customers during this 2026. There is a competition also which you have to keep in mind, whether competitors are ready to increase the prices or not. And you have to be competitive in the marketplace where others, what others are doing. So there are several factors comes into picture. This is something, only thing it makes sense right now is yesterday's news will help us a little bit better in sense of how to normalize and be reasonable. So we need to see that our customers are comfortable.
Week for us, actually, if you look at the numbers for FY25, those are also weak. And now after that, FY26, as you said, tariff is understandable. But I mean, going forward, after the fact that, you know, the tariff has come down to 18% now, how do you see US as a market going ahead for us?
Yeah, that it will not have much of a difference for the market sale. We will see how the market is good. Overall market is taking the tariff, whether it is 15%, 20%, 18%, you know, they will reflect in the marketplace and overall economy of the U.S. So if the U.S. economy remains strong with the employment, market will be good. We see reasonably it should grow.
Okay. And do you think any efforts are needed with respect to setting up a local base or getting personal sales and marketing personnel there, you know, to further push for better growth there?
We always are looking for a better growth, right?
We will do our numbers. Hence the little bit of pushback on that, sir.
Sorry?
It has not been really reflecting in the numbers, and hence, as investors, I think there was a slight bit of pushback on this matter.
I understand.
I think, going ahead, things will be better, as you said, rightly said.
We see a much better outlook. I mean, what we are looking at is a lot more inquiries, a lot more interest. That will reflect in next year's.
Okay, because I mean, given US has such a large impact on our margins, if sales from there were to go down as they have been in the past, it would again affect our margins going ahead. So I think given all of this, it holds pretty much high importance, especially this large market for us.
Absolutely. We are very mindful of that.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Mr. Abhishek Navalgund from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my side. First, on the upcoming R&D center that was supposed to come in Nashik, I think somewhere during this particular year. Is it possible to share, I mean, what area you will be targeting to begin with? Because it was mentioned that it will be a far bigger setup as compared to what we have right now. So any particular area and where you will see the benefits coming in, maybe not immediately, but over the next couple of years from that perspective?
So Abhishekji, to begin with, we will be targeting mostly on the strain development, protein engineering, and on the on the fermentation side. That will be the first phase.
Sure, but the reason why I'm asking this question is we have Serratio Peptidase as our largest product, but you get this question a lot that which product can become like a next Serratio Peptidase for us. So something similar can happen out of this R&D effort that you are intending to do?
Yes, Abhishek ji, we are working to do on, there are like many other products which we are working out there. And probably like the space will fasten up once this becomes live.
Okay. And this will be largely targeted again for the exports only, right? Abroad. And sorry, the timing of this commissioning of this facility is when? Sorry, I missed out on that part.
Somewhere around the end of the second quarter of this coming year.
End of second quarter, perfect. Next question on CAPEX. I mean, we have maintained the capacity utilization at around 55-60%. I'm sure that considering since we have not done a large CAPEX over last few years, I mean, the CAPEX, the capacity utilization must have inched up. Any plans of CAPEX, be it greenfield or brownfield expansion in next 1 or 2 years?
As we all always mention, whenever we feel like it will be necessary, we'll do it. Of course, like the cost will be very low. Maybe, I guess, like in the financial year 28-29 mostly. And the cost will be about 50 crore at that point.
Okay, so nothing on this particular year, right?
Not this year, except for the R&D, CAPEX, whatever we will need for the R&D center.
Okay. And the Serratio capacity, because this quarter was maybe kind of muted, but in 9 months, the growth has been very strong. So how are we placed in terms of capacity utilization for Serratio 50 days? The JC Biotech plus our capacity is sufficient for, let's say, a couple of more years, or...
I think like our capacities are good enough as of now. We are well placed.
Sure. Done, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Ranj. Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Ketan Chadha, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My query with respect to the EU region. In the last few years, if I take from 2021 onwards, we've had approvals wherein initially we had some 4 product approvals and now we are standing at 9 product approvals for the EU region. But in these years from 21 to 25, our revenue has not increased significantly. It's about 32-33 crores in that zone. So could you tell us, what are we selling essentially in European Union and why, in spite of having so many product approvals, our revenues are not growing in that region?
So our major target is the food segment in the European region, and that is what we are doing it. If you ask me, if you don't have these regulations, probably our sales would have been zero because you can't sell without this product being registered. So assuming that since it gets registered, you will have a significant revenue, is not true. We are doing our best. We are trying to expand the market wherever it is possible. And I guess we are still growing. This year also we grew into the European area. It's not like what degree or something of that.
No, sorry. I mean, I was referring to from, financial year 2021 till 2025, not just this 9 months or last 1 year or so. I was talking about the last... 4 or 5 years. Because if you see the number, 32 crores we had it.
So I think in Europe, we have then slightly the business model of our European company. So they were having some contract research, external contract research, then internal for us, and then, some product sale. So because of that realignment also, I think now the product sale was slightly down in couple of years. And now, we are looking into that aspect and seeing that some kind of, you know, revenue we are going to get from that product sale business as well, which has been developed in India, and then, you know, European company will take care of that. So that process is on, yes, and slightly the numbers, as you rightly said, is the kind of, you know, is the kind of range bound so far.
Okay, okay, appreciate that response. The other question that I have is, I believe, you know, the one novel ingredient application that we have in Europe is again related to serratiopeptidase. Now, once we have that approval, and, you know, assuming that probably it takes maybe a couple of years for us to kind of ramp up the sale of this novel ingredient in the European region, is it likely that this product will continue to be the top revenue generator for us?
Well, listen, if you know very well, you are aware, most of the issues, healthcare issues, are inflammatory related, right? And we have to make sure that it is awareness is there. People find that the products are working very well for them, and it's a marketing efforts, product establishment, brand establishment, etc. But we are sure that it will grow.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much. That's all. The one question. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Ravi Prohit from Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So a couple of things. One is, I think, you know, we over the last few years, there has been a lot of discussion on U.S. Business and India business. But outside of these two, the other geographies have actually done relatively better. And we see sustained growth from these geographies. So can you just spend some time and help us understand what are the areas which are helping us with this growth, or and also whether these are you know, sustainable numbers, and whether we can build upon this over a period of time. You know, so if you would just share some insights on this, that was question number one. And the second question was, we had created a 100% owned subsidiary to transfer our B2C business, and we had some thoughts on, you know, how to kind of getting to or expand our B2C business significantly in India. So if you could just share some update on that.
So when we talk about it, like we did like a lot of registration in Asia and other countries. And if you really look into the rest of the world and Asia, those are the two markets which are giving us some results. The work which we did in the last 2, 3, 4 years, they are yielding some results right now. And we can see that there are certain growth in the Asia as well as in the rest of the world area. Coming to the your next question on the Nutrazyme, we did like separated this entity, and now the team is there, which is a focus team, which is working onto this area particularly. As of now, like the way we see it, like this year it will be a small sale, from around 1.5 crore for at the end of the year. But we are constantly focusing on that. The team is young and dynamic, and we will see the results in coming 2-3 years.
So do we have a significant product pipeline which we can kind of, you know, which you could probably share with investors as to what kind of products are we looking at? And historically,
Alphabet's website, if you want to, we do have a 10 to somewhere around a basket of 10-12 products out there, and you can look at those products at the Welfa.
Yeah, we have brand, Welfa brand. You can go and take a look at it, and not only take a look at the brand, I suggest you buy some and try it yourself.
Yes, yes, we'll do more certainly, sir. And I think, you know, I think you had mentioned in the past that we historically have been a B2B company and not necessarily B2C company. So any, you know, idea, that's because B2C is a very, very different animal altogether, right, in terms of marketing, ad spend, getting, so is there any, like, plan to kind of do some JV with some other company or do it ourselves? Or because if the products are there and if they're good and we are doing it for other people for, you know, white labeling point of view, there could be an opportunity for us to kind of scale that business.
Thank you for, you know, suggesting and confirming what we think in the same manner. So we both of them are thinking alike on that matter. We will do all of that, whatever you said, is grow our brands, align with few others, B2C company people, and integrate and expand. That is a totally different biz than B2B. So we have to think in a different way, and we will take all the expertise necessary in that particular market. That's why we are separating the company under the Nutrazyme.
Okay. And so, you know, in the past, we have kind of briefly touched upon industrial enzymes, but if you could kind of spare some time and help us understand in the sense what areas in industrial enzymes do we actually do and or we intend to kind of, you know, add to our portfolio, because that seems to be a very interesting space where, you know, given all the, you know, investments that are happening in India, either from green ammonia point of view or rare earth minerals point of view, or a whole variety of, you know, other things that are getting manufactured. And each time we kind of read some literature, what we come across is there are a lot of industrial enzymes which get used. So is there anything that we do in any of these spaces or intend to get into any of these spaces? Just a broad brush idea if you could give.
Yeah, we are intended to get into those spaces on the growing marketplace. Our new R&D center will really help us into that, because ultimately in all industrial segment, there is a performance which really counts right there and then and there. So, you know, they don't wait. There's two areas which we have to show immediately of a performance and cost effectiveness, and it requires a lot of work proving that our enzymes are better than what they are using or not using at this point in time.
Do we have products or?
No, we have products. The thing is, you need a lot of R&D also to support
that. Right.
Okay? And that is what our new center will give us, space and area to develop new applications.
All right. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Masa. The next is a follow-up question from Somang Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my questions again. Sir, since Vasanji is also on the call, just wanted to hear from him in terms of over next 2-3 years, in which areas of enzymes does he see the most opportunity, and will advanced enzymes be able to take part in it?
Umang, thank you for calling. See, we have to stick with a lot of these areas which we are already servicing, but we will also expand it to few other market areas in the same market. See, there are two geographical marketplace and different application marketplace. Okay.
Right.
And still our healthcare will be always a top area for us. But we are also going into biochemical processing, and various other areas where the margins are not necessarily very high, but at the same time, opportunities are enormous. So we are looking at both different areas where we can expand and utilize our capacities very efficiently, at the same time grow our marketplace. And that's where the whole concentration of the management is at this time.
Great, sir.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. And sir, now with the new, now in the budget, the buybacks have become better in terms of the tax tax implications. So would really suggest if, like now where the stock price are, if we can consider a buyback of equity shares, that also helps in increasing the promoter holding and also helps long-term shareholders increase their stake without any friction. So just if that's something you could consider. And last thing was, if I heard it right, there was a loss in JC Biotech. Is that the right understanding?
That is right this quarter, yes.
This quarter, yes, but you don't look at it quarter on quarter.
Okay, okay. Was it an operational loss or a one-time loss? Because the it was EBITDA margin
there was
positive.
Like some,
but
some major, what you can call it, like a repair and not
stores.
Repair.
Stores.
Stores and
yes.
Stores and spare consumption for this quarter, okay. Which comes annually sometimes.
Okay. Is it one time or does it happen once every year?
Once in a year.
Once in a year or twice in a
yeah.
In a 2 years once or some that kind of thing. And this quarter, like again, there was some lower sale. But again,
okay.
We don't get it quarter and quarter.
Oh, okay. Great, great. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Subham Sehgal from SIMPL. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just had one question. So in the earlier response, you mentioned that going forward, you will see a much better outlook and a lot more inquiries and interest. Could you specify in which segment are we seeing all of these inquiries coming in?
No, we are only in the two places, no? Enzymes and probiotics. So most of it is, for example, our marketplace is a very different and dynamic marketplace. You know, in U.S., you are talking about U.S. market, right?
No, so in general, you specified that we're seeing a better outlook going forward. So are these inquiries more of,
more inquiries into U.S. marketplaces. Okay. In
general, we're seeing them specifically to U.S. market, right?
Correct. You are correct.
Okay.
We were
looking
more to the U.S. market, but but there are always inquiries in Indian market as well, or this area. Right?
Yeah. Overall, it is a bigger market.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And just next question was on the specialized manufacturing segment. So we saw good growth in the last 4 or 5 quarters, and this quarter was relatively flat. So, just going forward, how do we see this segment turning out?
Again, don't look at it quarter on quarter. There are always sometimes like the payment issues or other issues, and sometimes like the sales reversals are there. So, don't look at it quarter on quarter. Look at it just 9 months, and it's good. And I think it's continued to grow.
Yes, so but going forward, are we adding new products in this segment? I mean, as we had acquired this earlier, so like how is it going on? Can we just get some color on it? Like, are we adding new products? Are we getting good traction?
So this is basically in, you know, effervescent-based technology company. So they do work for various clients. So they are doing for, say, nutraceutical segment and, of course, you know, for animal division also, we are doing a lot of work for, you know, overseas company as well as now we are expanding our footprint in India. So, basically it is like a tablet or sachet, this is effervescent based. So, we are now looking into like, you know, now how do we market this product into whether we can go for, you know, even in textile segment, can we have some product like that which can be used, you know, even disinfectants can be used. And cosmetic also, there is a scope. So we are working on various things. But yes, I mean, you know, it is a process which is taking, you know, its own time. And we are working with a couple of good clients or companies on different areas in this particular company.
Okay. So just one clarification. So currently, as you mentioned, so this business is not yet present in India. Like, we don't have a lot of clients in India as of now, right? So is it more of concentrated in US or like it's spread out geographically?
So it's a combination of both, and there are a lot of different projects which are going on with different companies in India as well as in abroad. Okay.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Rohit Ori from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, team. Two questions and two parts to them. The first one being on the U.S. subsidiary. So by when do you anticipate that the volume will start picking up from there? Because as you mentioned, the inquiries have already started flowing. And we also see that World Nutrition INC versus Advanced Supplementary, that case is also solved. So by when do you expect that higher sales because if I read well, the margins tend to increase if sales are higher from US?
It's a good question. I think it should reflect things changing into this year. Okay.
And sir, on the R&D side, there were some products which were just about to be launched in March. So are we on track for that, or will we see some delay or maybe spill over into June or September?
Do we have a specific on the product which you are talking about?
No, sir. It was mentioned in the previous con call, but then there were no specific as such. But it was said that it will be launched in March probably.
So it's a constant process, Rohitji. So I don't know which product we are referring to at this point of time.
We have several products in the pipelines. No?
So it's again depends on the market response. You go into the market, you come back, you again do the some kind of thing if it requires. Mm-hmm. If it is good, it's just good. So it's constant process, Rohitji.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In short, listen, there is not like simple thing to concentrate on one product. We have multiple products in pipeline which we are working on. And let me tell you that not every quarter we are going to review and say what happens on that particular one. But several products are there, and there are some products get hit very quickly. Some products take a little longer time. Some will have delays because you have to go into pilot scale. Then people are just not going to jump on it. They go slow process. Sometimes somebody is very fast, depending on the market pull. So believe me that all of these are under continuous review, and push is very big, and trying to get some products which are hit, get bigger hit, so that our revenue generations can be there ASAP.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the union budget, it was speaking quite a lot about Philip to the toll manufacturing, while the FM was also trying to attract some global businesses and some investments thereof, while she also mentioned about some impetus for biopharma Shakti or maybe biologic mediums. Do you think that these developments can get some volumes as well as value for us?
The chances are very high, provided if we get some kind of a relief from this government regulations and bureaucratic messes, you know. Government talks very, very big, and they are respective, but you, as we all know, there is so many rules and regulations. But lot of companies are greatly interested, and we are very much interested in working with them.
Because Rathi, yes, Kabraji, go ahead.
No, I was just telling you, because this budget ka abhi tak aur bhi samajhna bahut baki hai abhi tak. Jo fine lines padhna aur ye bolna bahut aasan hai, and there are like lot of things which we are coming with, like new institutes and other things. What I understand, but we need to go through the fine lines and understand it more deeply.
Because Kabraji, in one of the con calls recently, we mentioned that we were working on some contract manufacturing and some developments thereof. And even if you look slightly into the fine print, they are giving some tax benefits, which Ratiji just mentioned about. So it's any developments is the only thing that I'm asking.
Yeah, We still need to evaluate the impact of it on the budget and other things, right? So we are working on some of the areas, but let's see. And we still need to understand the budget, honestly.
Okay, Gabraji, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Raj.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have a follow-up question from Mr. Rohan from Blue River Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Quickly for Mr. Rathi. Thank you for being on the call today, sir. From a 3 to 5 year perspective, so you say a medium to long-term perspective, where do you see our company progressing towards, you know, and what do you think is really needed to get there? I mean, R&D obviously is a huge and strong pillar for us, but apart from R&D, I think from what else do you think is required for us to take us to that position there in 3 to 5 years?
Well, as we said before also, same thing. I don't think we are changing our tune anywhere. We'll grow 13 to 15% double-digit, more than double-digit growth overall on a continuous basis in 3 to 5 years. There are a lot of hurdles will come in the places, and there will be some sellings. But overall, we're very comfortable with our thinking. And accordingly, sometimes we can hit a very big way. The growth may increase rapidly. But overall, we are 13 to 15% is very comfortable for us.
That's true, sir. Because from a historical perspective, last couple of years have been slightly weak. This year, 9 months, obviously, to give credit where due, we've done well. But as I said, the last few years, last 2, 3, 4 years odd have been weak. So given that context,
yeah.
I'm asking, do we require any changes, any particular functions per se, be it sales, marketing, manufacturing, operations, anywhere else? Does anything have to change? And if yes, what would that be?
we are addressing to those. That is what you are looking at. Overall 9 year, 9 months performance also, and we'll see that we'll continue to meet your expectations.
The only thing what I would like to add out here, the ride will be roller coaster. It will not be the straightforward graph of like this. Some years we will grow faster and some years we might grow a little slow.
That is understandable, sir. And a small bookkeeping question. So on margins, what was earlier communicated was that tariffs would have a 200 bps odd impact on margins. Now with tariffs kind of moderating, how's margins trend going ahead from here?
So almost 9 months is gone. So I think another 3 months we have to see the impact. But it is most likely instead of 2% on EBITDA, I think it will be around 1% or so.
Yeah, but it's a worst case scenario. We are also trying to pass on, as Nick Wielser has mentioned, some of the cost to the customers in US. So we'll see what will be the last impact, but this is the worst case scenario.
Understood. Thanks a lot and wishing you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Yeah, the next question comes from Mr. Chandramouli Jagannathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. The previous participant was talking to you about the buyback, which you did not answer. I also feel that the current market cap of your company kind is at a lower level. Maybe you can think of if there is any view on that.
Sorry, your question is not clear. Can you please repeat?
No, I'm talking about the buyback. Even there is a previous participant also asked you about that. You did not answer. Since the valuation is so attractive, maybe do you have any plans? And the taxation of the buyback also in the recent budget become a little attractive.
Now, we appreciate your question and your, you know, guidance. But, you know, there are many things which you know very well. This is the, you know, prerogative of the board. Right? So it cannot be answered as such.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have one final question, which is a follow-up question from Mr. Ketan Chirdan, individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, my question is with regards to slide number 25 of your presentation, There is one segment within human nutrition, biocatalysis. And if I see the revenues in FY24 and FY25, we've kind of gone down from $3.3 million to $2.1 million. Now, my question is with respect to the biocatalysis, could you explain, what are we doing right now and maybe in the next 3 to 4 years or 5 years, where do we go ourselves going ahead in that, in this segment of biocatalysis?
Biocatalysis business. What are we doing in biocatalysis, right? That is the question. It's gone down from
dollar terms, maybe. We are working on the biocatalyst areas. Like, that's what I can say. A lot of things are there on the pipeline. There might be something here and there, and we still need to understand that. But the growth prospects are very good into this area, Kitanji.
Okay, because even in some of the previous calls, you mentioned that there are some products under trial with some customers. So, is there any update, of those trials of those products, or if there is some kind of a outlook in terms of timeline, how long, there will be some outcome of those trials, be it 1 year, 2 year, something like that.
Maybe I would like to say that, probably we will have to wait till the first quarter of the next financial year.
Okay. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
I think Shreyas Ghatani has asked one question. Shreyas, probably you were, reducing the Evox number directly from the European top line, European numbers, whatever we have shared with you. So, it is, the number which we have shared is net of our intercompany transaction. So, you have to look from that angle. So, our Europe, I think revenue number was about 96 million during this quarter as compared to 105 in Q3 of last year and 116 for Q2 of this year.
Thank you, sir. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to Mr. Ronak Sharaf for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings conference call. We will keep you all posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website and on stock exchanges in due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Dursabha's conference call services. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant evening.